Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 10th, 2017. We'll start with a story titled One Dead in Capsizing, Diver Seeking Victim of Mine Pond Accident, written by Noel McGee in Hillary. The Vermilion County Sheriff's Department's underwater search and rescue team planned to renew its search this morning for the body of a man who apparently drowned in a boating accident at a strip mine pond behind his home in unincorporated Hillary. The dive team called off the search for the day around 8:15 p.m. Wednesday, about 10 hours after sheriff's deputies were called to the scene at the private pond located on the north end of Blackford Street. Parts of the pond are as deep as 50 feet with poor visibility, Sheriff's Captain Mike Hartshorn said Wednesday night. Divers used sonar to search while family members waited for word at the house for most of the day. County Sheriff Pat Hartshorn said a man, a woman, and a small child were in a small boat in the pond when the motor failed. He said the man stood up to work on the engine and the boat capsized. The child was wearing a flotation device. The woman, who authorities identified late Wednesday as the missing man's fiancée, was able to get the child back to the shore. The male apparently went under and didn't come back up, Pat Hartshorn said. No foul play is suspected, the sheriff said. It's a tragic accident, he said. And in Catlin, a quick rental fee for non-residents possible. Village board members discussed charging a fee to rent the park's pavilion. Mayor Butch Schmink said it normally costs the village 2 hours in overtime pay for employees to clean and lock up the pavilion when it is used. Board members agreed that they did not want to charge Catlin residents to use the pavilion, but would consider charging non-residents. A fee structure will be discussed in January to implement this for the next summer. Okay, the next story is titled, Dogs Help Those Suffering with PTSD. Good Sunday morning, everyone. In recent months, I have heard over and over the problems of mental health. Due to the great awareness in our community, which backs our military men and women, we have heard a lot about post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. It's an epidemic that is impacting millions of Americans every year. But it isn't just those war veterans that is diagnosed as having PTSD. Men, women, and children can develop this mental health affliction after witnessing a terrifying, usually life-threatening event. PTSD can cause panic attacks, sudden mood swings, crowd anxiety, suicidal thoughts, night terrors, and just difficulty returning to life as it was before the event occurred. Recently, I have seen and heard about PTSD dogs. On 4th of July, the Danville Ambucks gave an Amtrike to a local veteran. Along with the trike came a cart to pull his dog along, his PTSD dog. I had heard about CNI dogs, but had never heard of a PTSD dog. I was so excited because we kept losing lives to this horrific mental illness. I said, how hard is it that just give everybody a dog and fix this problem, right? The train one dog can cost up to $20,000. Training consists of multiple classes during the week and lasts about 12 to 15 months. Then there are insurance and vet care for the life of the dog at all no cost to our veteran receiving the dog. So how does a veteran benefit from this dog? Typically, the dogs will perform a variety of tasks, such as alerting to night terrors and providing comfort, help a veteran acclimate to crowds and other social situations by creating a protective buffer between the veteran and other people, easing safety concerns by performing perimeter searches and giving the all clear before the person enters a dark house, and more. Now, what about people suffering with PTSD who aren't war veterans? Morningside Recovery says the right pet can have many therapeutic benefits. Taking care of pets teaches responsibility, which greatly improves mental health. Plus, they give a sense of purpose and teaches selflessness. Research showed that pet companionship reduces symptoms of anxiety and depression. I guess whoever coined the phrase a man's best friend when talking about a dog and his owner knew what they were talking about. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sherry M. Askren is president of the United Way of Danville Area, Incorporated at 28 West North Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832, and her phone number is 442-3512. Okay, the next story is titled, Teens Meet to Discuss Issues. This is written by Farah Anderson. How can teens be truly independent? Karen Neal, a Danville Public Library employee, posed that question to members of Teen Minds, a group for ages 12 to 18. Neal creates a casual environment for the group where every participant can speak openly and his or her comments are acknowledged. The group meets once a month on a Monday. Its members discuss a variety of topics that are pressing in the lives of teens. Last month, members discussed social media safety, which is extremely vital in youth lives. During the most recent meeting, members discussed teen independence, which received a multitude of mixed responses. What is the definition of independence? Neal asked. To be free, one student replied, but that brought up another subject. Can teens really be free while still living with their parents? We are independent in certain areas, one girl answered. Many students agreed with the moderator that when teens can pay bills and receive a driver's license, they can be fully independent. Some students talked about the burden of poverty in their homes. They described how poverty can destroy parents' sense of independence because they are forced to become dependent in order to provide for the family. They can't always be independent about their fashion, bedroom, or education because they have to take what they can get. Listening to members' stories helped others realize how much independence is taken for granted in society. The Danville Public Library offers a multitude of programs that engage the minds of youth and have them contemplate their future. For more information, call the library at 217-477-5220. Okay, the next story is titled Long Married Couples Honored as Role Models. This is written by Mary Wyckoff in Georgetown, and there is a picture of Georgetown Ridge Farm High School cheerleader Hunter Howard, a senior, visits with Don and Marty Stratton of Danville, who have been married 51 years. Humor seems to play a big part in keeping a marriage together for 50 years or longer. I've learned a happy life is a happy wife. A happy wife is a happy life, said Don Stratton of Danville, explaining how he and Marty have stayed together for 51 years. Therefore, the husband plays the most important role in keeping the marriage happy, he said jokingly while Marty smiled and shook her head. Richard Blakenly of Westville contributed his own jokes by saying he has hearing loss from working at Bone Aluminum, later Heatcraft, for 36 and a half years. But I'm glad of it, he said with a smile, glancing at Marguerite, his wife of 60 years. Stratton interjected that he has a wife mode on his hearing aid. Joking aside, the Stantons and Blakeneys gave more serious reasons as well for their long marriages. Marguerite said she and Richard always agreed before buying anything and that they shared responsibility for raising the children and tending to the farm. More than 50 couples and some individuals attended the Golden Wedding Day party at the Georgetown Fairgrounds on Wednesday. Couples married 50 or more years were invited, as well as single people who had been married 50 years when they lost their spouse. Organizer Selena Davis said it's a good time for the couples to socialize with each other and to enjoy the company of teenagers from Georgetown Ridge Farm High School. They like to see the youth, she said. They just want to visit. It's all about them. The cheerleaders served drinks, ice cream, and cake to the attendees and cleaned up afterward. They also did a couple of cheer routines. Prizes were awarded to the attendees in categories such as married the longest, furthest site for a wedding, and the highest number of great-great-grandchildren. William and Bernice Davis Grubb of Covington, Indiana, were honored for being married 74 years. They had met while Bernice was a nurse was in nurse's training. She quit in February, and they were married by April. Attending the First Baptist Church in Covington has helped keep them together. In addition, the 2017 Miss Georgetown Fair Queen, Heather Simpson of Hoopston, and her court mingled with the crowd, and gave short speeches. Scott Davis, a member of the Fair Board, told the audience that 50 years is quite a millstone, and it shows the teenagers that it is possible. Thanks for being a role model, he told the couples. The Golden Wedding Day is somewhat of a family affair. It was started around 1972 by Ethel Cunningham, who was Selena Davis's grandmother. Joan Brenningham was coordinator for a while. She was Selena's father's cousin, and Selena's nieces were helping out Wednesday. Scott is her husband. Okay, the next story is titled DACC, Local Group Organized Community Event. And this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. An event planned for this weekend promises to bring the community together for some fun before school starts. The Back to School Community Bash, sponsored by Danville Area Community College and the local chapter of Moms Demand Action, will take place from noon to 3 Saturday on the quad between Prairie Hall and the Clock Tower at DACC. The Three Kings of Peace also will assist with the event. The idea is for people of our community to come together with their children to have a little fun before school starts, said DACC Literacy Coordinator Brandis Connor, who also is a member of Moms Demand Action. We're trying to get the community involved to give something safe for the kids to do, she said. We will have a multitude of things to do for children. Members of the Danville Police and Fire Department will be on hand at the event. The fire department will hook up a hose and spray the kids, and the police department will hand out coloring books, she said. Connor said she and a friend will lend their artistic talents and offer face painting to the children at the event. Those in attendance also will be able to enter a giveaway of gift cards at the Moms Demand Action booth. Senator Scott Bennett, a Democrat from Champaign, will announce the prize winners. Free grilled hot dogs, chips, pop, and water will be available, and a DJ will provide music to entertain the crowd. Children will be encouraged to enter a sidewalk chalk art contest that will be judged with prizes awarded. They will have 30 minutes to give us their best art, Connor said. An intramural kickball tournament also will be organized. They can sign up for kickball if they want to when they get there, she said. We'll select the teams so the ages are mixed throughout the teams. In conjunction with the event, school supplies will be collected for children of victims of gun violence. They can bring the school supplies to the bash or we can pick them up, Connor said. The supplies we collect will be given to these children directly, and whatever we have left will go to the local agency that works with the schools to give supplies to students in need, she said. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America is a national organization, but recently has started a chapter in Danville with 10 members. We provide resources for victims of gun violence and support they can lean on, Connor said. The national group tries to pass gun sense laws. To help anyone interested in donating school supplies or setting up an informational booth at the Back to School Community Bash, may email Mary Catherine Roberson, founding member of the local Moms Demand Action chapter, at mcroberson1983@gmail.com. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Let's see. Ted Ashcraft, 69, of Oakwood, passed away at 1:59 p.m. Sunday, August 6th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A memorial service will be at noon on Saturday, August 12th at Muncie Baptist Church with Pastor Dave Garver officiating. Visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon prior to the service at the church. Cremation rites have been accorded. Kirby Funeral Home at 708 South Main Street in Homer is handling the arrangements. Memorials can be made to the Muncie Baptist Church Sunshine Committee. Arnold Lee Bose Killing, 74, lifelong Petersburg resident, passed away peacefully at his home at 10:07 p.m. on Tuesday, August 8th, with his family by his side. Funeral services will be 6 p.m. Saturday, August 12th, at Dickerson Funeral Home in Petersburg, with Pastor Greg McDonald officiating. Visitation will be from 1 to 5:45 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home, with Masonic service beginning at 5:45 p.m. Military honors will be given by American Legion Post 288 and the U.S. Army. Private family burial will be at a later date at Bone Break Cemetery with Pastor Joe Dodds officiating. Memorial contributions may be given to the American Legion, Post 22288, or the American Cancer Society. Audrey Rose Gilliland Baker, 92 of Oakwood, passed away at 6:45 a.m. on Tuesday, August 8th. A celebration of life service will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, August 11th, at Sunset's Oakwood Funeral Chapel, 105 East South Main Street in Oakwood. Burial will be at Oakwood Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. on Friday, August 11th, at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Audrey's name to First Evangelical Methodist Church in Oakwood. Evelyn C. Meter, 93 of Hoopston, passed away at 9:38 a.m. Monday, August 7th at her home. A visitation will be held at 2:30 to 4:30 on Thursday, August 10th at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. The funeral service will follow the visitation and will begin at 4:30 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home with Reverend Tom Cece and Pastor Bill Collins officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Evelyn's memory to the First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, 502 East Main Street, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. Donald Don Lee Treadway, 70, of Georgetown, passed away at 9:42 a.m. Tuesday, August 8th, at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. A celebration of Don's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 12th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor Gary Ferris officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, August 11th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville. Memorial donations may be given to the Scottish Rite Bodies Masonic Lodge in Danville. Catherine Kathy Sue Paxton, 63, of Georgetown, passed away Sunday, August 6th, at Indiana University Hospital in Indianapolis. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 12th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. After the services, a celebration of Kathy's life will follow at the Town and Country Tap Ridge Farm. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Vermilion County Handicapped Association or Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Jean L. Lockhart, 75, of Noblesville, Indiana, passed away on Saturday, July 29th at Prairie Lakes Health Campus in Noblesville. A celebration of life will be held at 4 p.m. on Saturday, August 12th at Randall and Roberts Funeral Center, 1685 Westville Road in Noblesville, with visitation from 2 to the time of the service. Wanda Irvin, 87, of Hoopston, passed away at 2:10 a.m. Monday, August 7th at Heritage Health in Hoopston. A celebration of Wanda Irvin's life will be at noon Friday, August 11th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Hoopston, with Pastor Jake Callahan officiating. Burial will follow the service in Floral Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon Friday at the church. Memorials may be made in Wanda's name to the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church or to Grant Township Food Pantry. And Everett Harold Wood, 88, of Milford, passed away at 4:44 p.m. Monday, August 7th at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. A visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, August 11th at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. The funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 12th at the Milford Christian Church, 811 East Hickory Street in Milford, with Reverend Neil Larimore, Pastor Gary Milton, and Pastor Brent Zastro officiating. Burial will follow at Floral Hill Cemetery with military rites accorded by the Hoopston American Legion, Post number 384. Memorials may be made to the Milford Christian Church, 811 East Hickory Street, Milford, Illinois, 60953, or to the IMH Hospice, 200 North Laird Lane in Watseka, Illinois, 60970. Okay, the next story is titled Alderman Act on Additional Fire Engine Work, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. The city is one of several Illinois communities which are part of a class action lawsuit against Pierce Manufacturing Incorporated and Global Fire Equipment Incorporated over warranty issues with fire engine frames. The Danville City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday recommended approving a budget amendment for additional work on two fire trucks. The full City Council will act on the budget amendment next week. Aldermen recommended authorizing a budget amendment of $28,000 for maintenance of vehicles due to rusting and section loss on frames of fire engines number 2 and number 4. This is in addition to costs already of $192,580. Funding comes from the city's general fund reserve. Danville Public Works Director Ray Garcia said the 2006 and 2007 Pierce fire engines have received Level 2 refurbications to National Fire Protection Association standards. The trucks are in good working condition, Garcia said. They're extremely good for our fleet. We're all connected together. He also added about other municipalities also seeing frame issues and seeking reimbursement. We are all involved in the lawsuit. Also Tuesday, the committee heard Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell said the Danville High School Shared Use Path Project is on schedule with crews working on the medians, fencing, and other items. He also said the South Street project started this week and is expected to be finished in October. That work includes eliminating roadway lanes and street lights and adding a median and crosswalk to get from the arena to town center. In other business, the committee recommended approving a $59,864 professional services agreement with Hanson Professional Services of Springfield for the Bowman Avenue Corridor Study, also accepting a $12,100 donation from the Danville chapter of AMBUCS to purchase a new piece of playground equipment, a Little Tox Revolution inclusive spinner from All Inclusive Rec LLC of Farmington, Missouri. The spinner will replace the sand play area at the AMBUCS playground for everyone at Winter Park. We've been very blessed to have a very active AMBUCS chapter, said Danville Public Works Director Doug Ahrens. Ahrens estimates the group's total contribution to the city's park is approaching seven figures. He said AMBUCS keeps a good eye on the equipment and raises funds for repairs and replacement. The sand diggers have been frequently replaced in the past. The city will assist in removing the existing sand play area and installing the new piece. And they also authorized interfund borrowing for Danville Mass Transit. A $500,000 cash flow loan was taken out to ensure timely payments to vendors during construction of the Richard D. Brazda bus terminal. The cash flow loan is due this month, and the city hasn't yet received final grant funds from the state of Illinois. An interfund loan of $250,000 each from the city's sanitary sewer and solid waste funds will only be done if needed, according to Mayor Scott Eisenhower. Okay, the next story is titled Feast for the Eyes. DACC shares produce with students. This is written by Carol Roem, and there is a picture of 7-year-old Jackie Perez and 5-year-old Angeline Ocampo placed cherry tomatoes in a bag held by Danville Area Community College student Maria Torres during the Environmental Horticulture Division's Farmers Market held every Wednesday on DACC campus. And this is from Danville. A colorful bounty of produce grown and harvested by volunteers and Danville Area Community College's environmental horticulture staff drew students who happened to be on campus Wednesday to check out the college's farmer's market. Every Wednesday between 11:30 and 12:30, the environmental horticulture department displays its harvest for the day at a farmer's market that started last month near the horticultural building. DACC students who show their student ID can select from a variety of produce offered for free. Any produce that is left after 12:30 is made available to DACC faculty and staff. The produce is grown on a 5.5-acre parcel on North Daisy Lane that is being leased at no cost to DACC for 5 years by owners Christy Hare Bartos and her husband Jerry Bartos. Hare Bartos, who serves on the DACC Foundation Board, offered the college the use of the property 2 years ago as a learning site. The college grows a wide array of crops and native prairie plants, keeps honeybees, and maintains bluebird nesting boxes on the land. The vegetables, fruits, and herbs and honey produced at the farm are used by DACC's Culinary Arts Program as well as for DACC students in need. On Wednesday, Maria Torres and Noemi Lucero, students in DAC's English as a Second Language program, filled up shopping bags with large ripe tomatoes, sweet cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, eggplant, and green peppers. Cousins 7-year-old Jackie Perez and 5-year-old Angeline Ocampo helped select the cherry tomatoes for Torres and Lucero. Torres said that she learned about the farmer's market on campus from her instructor. "This is very nice," Lucero said. "It helps our family. Fresh produce is more healthy." DACC nursing student and volunteer Nancy Shute and Peer Court volunteer Amaya Nance dressed up to bear shelving units of the market with tablecloths and lace. Produce was displayed in baskets. "We want it to feel like a farmer's market," Shute said. DACC student Diane Lloyd, a repeat customer of the market, stopped by for another haul of green tomatoes, red tomatoes, and cucumbers. "When they're out there, I'm here," she said, of frequenting the market. Lloyd told Amanda Crabb, an environmental horticulture instructor, that last week's green tomatoes were good. "I seasoned them with accent and some garlic, dipped them in cornmeal, and deep fried them," Lloyd said. Her plans for the red tomatoes entailed marinating them in a mixture of vinegar, garlic, salt, and pepper. "I love this. This is nice. This is beautiful," she praised about the market. DACC student Rayford Sims showed up for cucumbers and bell peppers. He said he would eat the cucumbers with salt and pepper, but he had something special planned for the peppers. "With the peppers, I'll make pepper steak," he said. "I'm going to enjoy these." DACC students Gabriel Larson and Sierra Lambert said they appreciated the college sharing their bounty of produce. "This is a byproduct of the horticultural program, so they might as well do this," Larson said. Well, I only have like a couple minutes left, so I'll just read through some calendar of events in the newspaper. In Georgetown, the Georgetown Fair is at the fairgrounds at 413 North Seminary Street today. Starts. There's a meeting of the Sunrise Rotary Club in Danville at 7 a.m. at Charlotte's at 402 North Gilbert Street. Focus on Children and Families is 10 to noon, first floor meeting room in Danville Public Library on Vermilion Street. The Lions Club meets at noon at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main. Ounce of Prevention Illinois Birth through 3 Institute is from 4 to 6 p.m. at Centers for Children's Services at 702 North Logan Street. And Danville Historic Preservation Commission is at 5 p.m. at the Danville Municipal Building at 17 West Main Street. Holiday Hills Neighborhood Association is at 6 p.m. on Holiday Hills Community Church, 1700 North Bowman Avenue. Peer Courts Katie Osterber and Judge Craig DeArmond will speak. And Narcotics Anonymous at 9 a.m. at New Directions at 153 North Vermilion Street. And Alcoholics Anonymous is at 6:30 at ACES Building at 119 North Vermilion Street. So that'll be it, pretty well it. On the calendar. So anyway, that'll be it for today, Thursday, July, or it's August now, Paula, August 10th, 2017. I hope you have a nice week. It's supposed to not be too hot, I don't think, this weekend. Be a nice weekend. Get a little rain. I guess we all need it, don't we? So I hope you all take care, and I hope to see you again next week. Bye-bye. Thanks.